Welcome to the first Cowbell Fever podcast of 2026. I know this feed has gone a little quiet. It turns out having a 5 to now 15-month-old is not so great for podcasting. But we do have this episode. We have a few more coming your way pre-Berkey, and of course after the race we'll have the Main Street episode. In fact, there's one episode in the editing hopper pretty much ready to go in the next few days, and it's a good one, too. This is our traditional What's Up with the Berkey podcast with Ben Pop, and unlike the last few years, there's no discussion of whether there's enough snow or whether there's enough ice or whether there's weather. We're basically all systems go at this point, so get in your last training and get ready to glide. A reminder that this podcast can be supported at a Patreon if you appreciate the content in your feed. I'm still using my last name for this, OFSEVIT. That's Patreon, patreon.com/off7. And if anyone wants to actually help with podcasting, to be part of this global media empire, let me know. I can promise long hours, I can promise at most minuscule wages, but it is kind of fun. This is the 10th year I've done this podcast. Ben, you've joined every year just sort of to talk Berkey pre-race. Sometimes when I haven't had a kid, we've talked like in the spring and summer and fall. And now it turns out that, you know, a little less time, but this is Tuesday, Feb 3rd, so 2.5 weeks till race day. From what I can tell, Berkey's in pretty good shape, that we have good snow, good lake ice. You know, right now, looking at maybe a little warm-up coming up, but hopefully not too bad. What does it look like out there?
Yeah, I mean, it really actually looks like winter for a change after a couple of years, you know, 25, 24, both sketchy. You know, we've had some pretty good snow since just after Thanksgiving. A couple 8-inch dumps. I mean, it's not like we have mounds and mounds and mounds of it, but I think our compacted base is right around 8 to 12 inches, depending on where you are. Really hard. We just went through this series of minus 35 at night, high of minus 10, minus 29, high of minus 6 for about 2 weeks. And so it's freaking hard. And the skiing is great. So that I skied the whole sections of trail, but we now have a staff Berkey ski day since the staff no longer gets to ski the race. Typically 2 weeks before the open track, so that's tomorrow, we ski a staff day. And so you get to choose if you want to start. And we ski north. We do the original direction. Mm-hmm. So either start at the office, because now that we're across the lake, you can start at the office, down below, Timber Trail, whatever. And then we just ski up to the hub in Telmark and have a little picnic.
So you just walk from the office down to the lake and start skiing?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And you send a snowmobile across the lake?
We've actually already had our cats. We've been now grooming across the lake. So we went out about a week ago, because then after this really cold weather, we went out and checked the ice. And ice depths were anywhere from 22 to 24 inches, so a lot of ice.
Yeah.
The edges are typically right behind Marketplace there, where you get off the lake. It's kind of swampy and oftentimes not great.
We actually I have a friend who fell in there a couple years ago. So.
It's like if you get off the ski trail, you're going to get wet boots. But even that's frozen down, believe it or not. Because, interesting, this year it's been winter, and we've had so many more snowmobiles than I've ever seen. And they use that as an access too, so they've actually froze it down.
Much. Yep.
So the snowmobilers, we're going to give them a little tip of the hat, because they've helped us out in there. So that said, I think the conditions, yes, are looking quite favorable in that good snow. We have the Wisconsin State meet this weekend, and then the pre-Berkey and the North End Classic. And so kind of been assessing the different parts of the trail, and they really look quite good. And the long-term forecast, you know, a couple days in the 30s, maybe some snow. Of course, I don't know how well the 14-day forecast is accurately. I think it's got to at least be close from a trend standpoint. That it's looking pretty good all the way up through open track, like low 15, high 26. So I think hopefully it's great conditions. And, you know, people are really getting back to skiing this year. Of course, we know the West has been suffering a little bit with not great snow, but the Midwest and certainly the East has been just crushing it. My brother lives in Burlington and has said he's plowed more this year than he has in a long time. Yeah. But even you look at Wisconsin, Milwaukee's had snow, Madison's had snow, Iowa, Chicago. So I think people are fired up, and just means maybe it's going to be that much more of a competitive race. You never know.
Yeah, more people on snow spend a little more time. Although there's a lot of skiers that come out of the West, and I guess they've been running a lot this year.
Yeah, it's we have a bunch of folks actually from here in Hayward that we're going to go out and spend 2 weeks at Snowmont Ranch in the area and just do a couple weeks of vacation skiing. And they ended up canceling, actually, just because, unfortunately, the snow has not been great out there. So, yeah, it's really a bummer. And I think even more than skiing, of course, certainly the fire danger becomes a worry this spring. So I think skiing is going to be great, and which would be a great change of pace for the last couple of years. Of course, things can change. But just as a heads up, I think Christy said she's going to do a live stream next Monday. As one last, in case, you know, any changes or whatever. But then after that, I just talked to the bridge people this morning. Actually, it's getting untarped tomorrow, and they're going to start assembling pieces and bringing them downtown. People that have not been to Hayward since they were last year, there's going to be a little bit of landscape, which is pretty cool. As you remember, if you went over the International Bridge, on the left was that old log cabin. Big cabin. It used to be a spec home, actually, is what it was. Well, that's gone. And there's a new building
going up. They used to use that for, like, you know, someone would rent it out and you would have
thing or Cliff Lodge.
Earth Rider was in there 1 year.
Exactly. And I think, so it's called the Lumber Exchange. It's owned by a guy from the Twin Cities, and it's a co-op workspace building is what it is, essentially. And shared workspace and the like. And I think actually it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I think actually quite well, because we have such a transient group of folks from Minneapolis, St. Paul to Hayward that have cabins and the like. And we just unfortunately still do not have great internet and the like here. So it really is hard for remote work in times. And I think that sort of worker is going to really find home there. Anyways, it's going to be an amazing building because it's two huge stories and huge decks and balconies. So you're going to come over the bridge and be like, wow, this thing is taller than I am type of thing. And I think a year from now, it's going to be awesome because we've talked about, exactly what you said, programming that space out into a really cool fan zone and whatever. This year, he said they're going to have a big party for all the construction workers, so that'll be kind of fun. But that whole corner and landscape is really going to be kind of changing and the like, and so we'll see this year again. Not totally different, but I think people, when they see it, it'll be a bit of a surprise.
Build a big enough deck, and you can just put the course over onto the deck, through the building, something like that.
The deck looks like it could be that big.
Yeah.
They've got the most of the steel and mortar work is kind of, so you can see the shape of the thing. And yeah, there's this big platformed deck that sticks out that, it'll be fun for people to see it. But anyways, I think that'll be just a different view as you come in. So don't crash, because there'll be a lot of cameras there.
Yeah, otherwise trail's looking good. And it sounds like the snow is well compacted, probably has enough moisture in it that you can work with it.
Yeah, that's been pretty good. We've been working it, and not as much, it came down, we let it sit for a while. We had a bunch of rain. One of the issues we do have right now is we had a bunch of rain in December over a weekend that then turned to snow, and it brought all the trees and branches down.
Right.
And so slowly but surely, we've been trying to collect and push that back. We actually brought one of the big machines, the 400 South, last weekend to try and, especially 00 South, push the trail as wide as you can. Because, of course, you got to try and firm up that classic edge so that otherwise that far classic track is totally crappy. It's just so soft. So we pushed it as far wide as we could, and they tilled super deep and hard. But now we're in the process of going back and trying to get rid of all those face slappers and knee slappers of those little branches that had come down during that ice storm. And not so bad up north. I mean, we can set, three tracks best line on the classic trail, no problem up north. But in the middle of the trail, but you get down south, now everybody's together, and you just need every inch you can. So that's high on our list this next 2 weeks. The crew's been out there with snowmobiles and clippers. And as I tell somebody, had stopped in the office, oh, I got hit by this branch. I said, well, you can just ski with the clippers next time and be good no-pole skiing, and you're welcome to go. So, it should be great skiing, I think.
What else is going on in Berkey Week that people should be looking forward to?
Yeah, I think it's going to be fairly normal. A few new things at the Expo actually last year. That gym and area for the Expo was still just being finished as part of the referendum the school had been under. That's totally done now, and the Expo flow is going to be super easy because now almost doubled the space. You don't have to go upstairs. You don't have to go find a classroom. It should be really, really smooth. Actually, the Norwegians, if there's going to be a Camp Norway, they're going to have this huge conglomerate piece again, even bigger with an on-snow demo at the school. Ooh, one of the cool things on Sunday is, I don't know if people know that we built a biathlon range up at the Berkey Start. And, you know, on Sundays, we do the demo up there, which is always fun just because you're done. It's not stressed. You know, go up and grab a coffee or a beer or a hot dog, whatever. And if you haven't been to Telemark, the new building is awesome just because there's restaurant, you know, back roads and New Moon and track. But this year, Jake and Luke Brown from the U.S. biathlon team are going to be here, and they're going to do a whole biathlon program on Sunday as part of it, using the new biathlon. It's only about 800 meters from where the demo is going to be out to the range. So I think that'll be actually a really cool thing, kind of a whole come and learn it, get to try and shoot the guns, you know, and the like. And so I think that'll be kind of a fun interactive piece that will be new for us, and hopefully people get a chance to participate in that. And then downtown, there's a couple things. Berkey Bash, if you're in town on Thursday, you know, it's, we've done it as a fundraiser for a bunch of years. That's how it started. And, you know, we're not really raising money at the moment for anything. You know, the community as a whole has been uber generous. We've been able to put Telemark together, you know, over 2,800 donors, raising $11 million.
Wow.
So Berkey Bash this year is going to have live music still and whatever, but it's going to be Berkey Trivia, Jerome Poling. So you got to get your team together. And, you know, Jerome Poling wrote the book, which is really good, actually.
Right.
I don't read much, but I listen to books on tape, and I've actually read it. It's awesome. I learned a ton because, I mean, I thought I knew a lot about this race. I mean, I've worked here for 13 years now, and, God, I don't really – I learned a ton. And,
yeah, I saw that at a bookstore, and I think I'll probably know all of this. It sounds like he found a lot in there.
I was amazed, yeah, just especially some of the stuff you know, how contentious it was with Tony and the foundation being formed and the early days and how committed he was to elite athletes and racing. That was so important to him. And that then he really believed what he witnessed in Bavaria after World War II was really going to come and hit resonate here. And it really took a while to obviously get that going. And maybe didn't even really get a chance to realize it, just because of maybe a few business decisions that didn't work out great. But anyways, I mean, I think, so that'll be kind of fun on Thursday, just because that's something different. That'll be fun.
Yep.
The other cool thing on Friday morning, both of last year's champions are coming to the World Open Breakfast, which I think will be really fun. Our friend from France and Czechy, won the classic race. Those two guys will be here, and they're going to come to the World Open Breakfast because they actually just love traveling to World Open races, and you know, they're kind of now post World Cup scene. I mean, still elite, obviously. They won the race last year. I mean, Gerard won by like I don't know. I mean, he skied backwards across the line, as I recall. So that'll be kind of cool, and it's free for any World Open Masters. So I think it'll be we're doing it at the Steakhouse, because that was kind of some news, and maybe people already know it's not new news at this point, obviously, but. You know, the old Flat Creek Eatery, I mean, that's 70 rooms closed for renovations. Yeah. It was bought by a larger hotel group, and it'll be really cool when they're done, but we got a call about 2 months ago, and like, wah! Many, many people were like, we don't have a place to stay.
People have been staying there probably for years.
Exactly. So anyway, so then we can't be there. We're going to be at the Steakhouse, which will be kind of fun, and I think, it'll be just kind of a cool celebration of the World Open, and people... I think if you haven't done a World Open race and you come to the Berkey, I've been fortunate enough now to get to travel to a few different ones.
Yep.
And I tell you what, it's freaking cool, man. I mean, just to be a part of the different communities, the likeness that you have. I mean, having gone to Estonia, in Italy, in Norway, and these places that you could be like, skiing going to be the same, or what's it like? You get there and you feel like you're at home. I mean, just that ski community travels so amazingly well, and they're so welcoming, and you kind of are connected by this love of skiing. And boy, I was always intimidated a little bit. You got to be fast or this. And it's just, again, a lot of times, especially I felt that in Italy at Marshalonga, was like, it was about the love of skiing. It wasn't about, I mean, of course, there's people racing and winning the race. But at the end of the day, I mean, just the love of being out in a different community skiing, it was pretty awesome. So
when you have 15,000 people on a narrow trail, you're not winning.
That's fully machine
for
made snow.
70K,
right? Exactly. goes to the Olympic venue, of course, this year. And this year's race, they just completed it because I had some friends that were there. A fully 70K man-made snow is ready to go. 2 hours before the race, started dumping. Foot of snow later. I mean, the winners were like 50 minutes lower. So think of that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. A buddy of mine that's a pretty good skier, 6 hours.
Six hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Yeah, it was a foot of snow.
And I think it was like 31.5 degrees snow,
exactly.
From what I saw. It was not light powder.
Yeah, perfect fluorocarbon weather back in the days of fluorocarbons.
That sounds like 2024 Gatineau.
Gatineau, the race up. Yes, yes,
Gatineau.
Yes. I've heard
just
that was
started
crazy.
Dumping. Yeah. I did that because it's like, all right, well, we're skiing the fake Berkey this year, so I'm going to do Gatineau instead. And then I got to the Berkey and the 50K. That was you put together a hard course that year.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and it'll be pretty cool. This year, the Berkey is on Saturday. That's the Olympic 50K, which will be kind of cool. The last race up there. It's kind of cool that both Gus and Jesse will be there. They were Berkey champions in 24, of course. Kind of really the shooting stars of the U.S. right now, which is awesome to see. So there'll be a little bit of celebration around that, celebrating them. And then that leads in, hopefully, a lot of Berkey skiers will be heading out to Placid. You know, after the Berkey, I think it's like the 19th, 20th, something like that, the World Cup finals. I mean, gosh, if you're a ski fan at all, flying to Burlington, drive up, going to Albany, whatever it is, but getting to see Jesse do her last races, World Cup home soil. I mean, if anybody had been in Minneapolis and felt that energy, you would not want to miss Lake Placid if it's anything close, because boy, that was something else.
And there should be some really nice skiing too, so you can watch the race. And I think, I assume they'll have some of their back trails open, and you want to ski on some hilly trails, go try those out.
Yeah, that's what I've always wanted. I've never had an opportunity to ski there. Been there in the summer, and you know, some of those old Olympic trails, I mean, this was an Olympic venue. I'm just fired up to get to check it out. And I've heard it's amazing, just the revamp of it as it's re-evolved over these last decades into an amazing venue.
If Wisconsin put as much money into a venue as New York does, they put millions and millions of dollars into that, tens of millions.
Oh, it's really? Impressive. Oh, wow. Yeah. Ah, got it. So it'll be fun to see. And, you know, I think, you know, from the Berkey standpoint, you know, seeing skiing, having good winters, seeing numbers grow in terms of where we see it, you know, actually the some races are actually smaller this year of ours included after these, and we're seeing less first time skiers after these last couple of years of having really, really hard, but now starting to see this year with the good snow, seeing growth in a bunch of our programs like Trail to Prince Hokan and Nordic Kids and some of these introduction to skiing. Well, sweet. Now we got winter back. So hopefully trying to re-engage those new skiers again. It's been a couple of years of really no opportunities, or very few, especially in the Midwest, to start get that growing again. And
you have folks like me, and I think I'm contractually obligated to point out in every podcast that this is my 20th Berkey this year. Once you get sucked into it, it doesn't really matter what the snow is. You're gonna make it to the race, and you know, we've had good snow. So
and it's such, I think that, you know, part of it is to come to see the community, the tribe of your friends.
Yep.
You know, I just remember when I was doing it, it was that very reason. Like, yeah, you're going to compete or whatever, but then it's like, oh, God, hey, Bill, haven't seen you in a year.
It's more time with your friends than it is on the ski trail.
Yeah, absolutely.
After the race you mentioned, there's the demo day. There is the Birchlegger breakfast, which I'm going to make sure I get to for the first time, since this is, as I pointed out, my 20th Berkey this year. And then you have a busy schedule coming up after that.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, actually, yeah, Birchlegger's breakfast. Again, if you're a Birchlegger, you don't have to be a part of the club. If you've done 20 races, and actually you don't even have to be a Birchlegger to come to the breakfast. It's just a really cool celebration of those that have done 20 races, I think. And it's awesome and fun to go Sunday morning at the steakhouse. I'd highly recommend people check it out. Just because, if nothing else, the stories are pretty darn cool as well, celebrating that group. After the Berkey, actually, we fire right into the next weekend, the Fat Bike Berkey, which is normally 2 weeks after, but this year we're actually also hosting Junior Nationals. So we're pretty excited about having the best kids from around the U.S. coming here. So we're going to go Berkey, Fat Bike Berkey, Junior National. So we'll be ready for a little break after that. But I think, you know, our whole goal is we've built out this venue, the Berkey Start, the new hub building, and Telmark was that we want to host events that really shape people's lives and in different varieties. So for some people, it's riding a fat bike. Some people, it's the Berkey. Other young kids, it's Junior Nationals. And so we have this opportunity to really host a variety of events. And then that is also getting us ready. Next year, we're actually going to host Senior Nationals in January. So I think the idea of creating a medium that really enables a variety of experiences for people is really what we're shooting for. And, you know, as we've now added infrastructure with the generosity of the community, making it happen, it just makes it so much easier. I'm looking out right now. I'm down at the Berkey start. And one of the new things people are going to see at the start line this year is 14 new toilets. And so, you know, it was part of the Berkey campaign for Telmark, and the Dirksons were a big part of that. We have the Great Hall down there. So we now have added 14 bathrooms that literally the heat went on today. They're just finishing them up. And so there'll be some other porta potties, obviously, because there's going to be 7,000 people here in that morning. But 14 of them, if you get here early, but for all of our other events, you'll be able to come in and use an actual flush toilet, warm bathroom. Yep. So little things like that that make like the events just so much easier to put on and provide a better experience, whether it's junior nationals, senior nationals, snowmaking. Then as we go into next year, we're looking at storing snow. Been working with Snow Secure as a Finnish company. They've got some blankets here already in the U.S. in southern Wisconsin. I know that actually Van Hovenberg has looked at it, but it just makes so much more sense to make snow when it's really easy and efficient, like right now when it's this cold. Yep. Snow Secure, these elevations estimated to lose anywhere from 8 to 14% of volume. So we're thinking about trying it versus, man, trying to make snow in November, you're fighting it. You know, it's 31 and humid and
And then you roll it out, you have the turkey burk, you don't have to worry about that. It sits there in December, it's the sun's so low, it's not going to do anything. And and then you have a good year, you can make plenty, and the lean years come around and you're still in good shape.
So we'll see. That's keeping us busy, and life is good up in the Northwoods. And we're also, other cool part about this having this winter is we're just really seeing, and this is all the skiers, trail pass sales are really, really high numbers, visitor numbers. Last year we had about 138,000 skiers through up north. We don't we put in a bunch of counters and the like, and so those numbers are trending really high. It's just really great for our local economy. You know, the governor was here last week, which was super fun to have that opportunity to host Governor Evers and Secretary Sayers, Secretary of Tourism, on what does outdoor recreation mean for our economy in northern Wisconsin. And you know, obviously timber is a big one, but right now people are coming up here to snowshoe and ski and bike and snowmobile and ice fish. And man, right? You're going to the grocery store, you're staying in a cabin, you're buying gas. It just really, and you're coming more than once because you're Berkey training. And then you're coming this weekend for the pre-Berkey or whatever. So that was really a great opportunity for us to showcase outdoor recreation, northern Wisconsin, and why it's important, and validate some of the work we're doing as being meaningful for the region. So yeah, we've been plugging along and up here, but honestly, I'll tell you, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited. The event in Berkey time is my favorite time of the year. As stressful it is, I really love it. I love seeing people have a great time coming together, and so I relish it. I know it's certainly stressful for many of the staff and the like, but if we could do it once a month, Christy would probably kill me right now.
So now you just have to do an event every week for the next month.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's right, no doubt.
I think of the last few years, it's probably the easiest you sort of have going into it, so... Even 23, you had all the snow, but you worried about the lake. It sounds like you could land a jumbo jet in the lake right now.
You could right now. No problem. No problem on that. And yeah, we actually went through with the logistics crew this morning on compared to last year's kind of set in. And, you know, we didn't make the decision until literally yesterday last year. You know, it was right up to the end that we're going to come in downtown. So this year, knowing it, we've been just able to start getting further along of moving barricades and setting up the finish arch and, you know, just some of that stuff that takes time. It's just labor intensive, but got a great group of volunteers and people that are willing to help and, you know, mix that all together. And come February 18th, we'll be ready to roll.
Sounds great. We'll be looking forward to seeing you in Hayward, and stay warm up there. And hopefully we have great snow in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you got it. We look forward to seeing you up here in the Northwoods soon.
It turns out that there's going to be a bit of a triple marathon on Berkey weekend for the true masochists. As we mentioned, the Olympics line up with the Berkey this year. Saturday morning at 4 a.m. will be the Olympic men's 50K race. The Berkey will kick off a few hours later. In fact, the race should finish just as the first buses start to roll out from parking lots. And then at 3 a.m. the night after the Berkey, as the last partiers are getting home from the sawmill, the first ever women's 50K will kick off since we have distance parity this year. If anyone manages to watch both races live and also skis the Berkey, well, good on ya. Although that men's race might be a good distraction for some of the WAX teams. Speaking of which, I don't know if we're running a promo again with Pioneer Midwest this year, but if we are, you'll hear about it soon.
Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more episodes coming up.